Hello, listeners, and welcome to another episode of Shadow Talk, Digital Shadow's weekly threat intelligence podcast. It has been a busy week, but before we get into it, I want to go ahead and introduce our guests today. Joining me today, I have Charles Ragland, Alec Alvarado, and then Rick Holland, CISO of Digital Shadows. How are y'all doing today?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Pretty good.
What is that from?
Curb.
Okay. I haven't seen it before. I was always wondering where that sound clip came from.
Oh, mine is from the Amazon show Patriot. That's his. Anytime someone would ask him how he's doing, like he's like super bummed out and his default response is pretty good.
Oh.
Solid.
All right, sweet. So like I said earlier, we've had a pretty busy week. There's a lot of stuff that's been going on, and I kind of just want to jump right on into it. So as of late, I guess this week specifically, there's been a lot of activity on the law enforcement side of things. For example, a member of the Dark Overlord was sentenced to multiple years in prison. APT 41 members have been charged with computer crimes, and 179 cyber criminals have been arrested for pushing illicit drugs on criminal marketplaces. So let's go at this at an angle that's piece by piece. Alec, do you mind kind of cluing us in? So where did what were Nathan's charges? What did he do?
Yeah. So like you mentioned, a lot of activity coming out of the law enforcement side. And finally, we're seeing some bad guys get taken down, which, you know, I like to think is a good thing.
Yeah, it's about time.
Yeah, right?
Tango so down. Nathan,
yeah, tango down, that's it. Nathan Wyatt, who associated to the Dark Overlord, he got a couple of different counts. So looking at the court documents, he got a count of conspiracy, 2 counts of aggravated identity theft, and then 3 counts of threatening to damage a protected computer. And really, his role within the TDO scheme, he was responsible for contacting victims and demanding the ransomware payouts, or excuse me, the ransom payouts. So he was connected to the group after he used his phone numbers that were registered to his name to contact some of the victims. So, I mean, just goes to speak that OPSEC is pretty important from all aspects.
Even. Another OPSEC fail.
OOPSEC.
Yeah, OOPSEC.
I like that.
But yeah, just to kind of, you know, go back to TDO and the TDO collective, I think one of their most notable mentions was what they did around Netflix and kind of their role within the data breach landscape. And they'd attempt to, once they got access to information, they would attempt to extort their victims and attempt to get money out of it. So, like I said, it's kind of nice to see some of the bad guys going down. He got 5 years in prison and then about $1.5 million in restitution to the victims of TDO operations. So
TDO is a old school extortionist relative to what's going on this year, which is quite different. I remember, like, for them, they had the Game of Thrones trailer with the words on their extortion letter going through as they started to shift their targeting. You know, they did a lot of healthcare targeting, a lot of healthcare targeting, and then switched and started doing the media targeting and stuff like that. So they were, pioneers in the extortion space.
Yeah. We've actually mentioned that a lot, like in our blogs and stuff like that. I mean, that's really where that kind of originated.
Not that we have any respect or appreciation for them being pioneers, just to make that clear. But
yeah. I mean, if you're a jerk and you're doing the new thing, that's being a jerk. We're still not fans of it. Just for the record. Okay, so like on to the next one, still on the law enforcement front. So back to APT 41, members have been charged with computer crimes. So what charges were dropped against APT 41, Alec?
Yeah, so APT 41, affiliated to the Chinese nation state, 2 dozen counts of conspiracy, wire fraud, identity theft, charges related to computer hacking, as you would expect. So really just, you know, everything, the whole book we've pretty much thrown at them. And I think it's notable that 2 of those associated to APT 41, 2 of actual individuals were successfully brought to the United States to go ahead and face some of these charges. So, you know, a lot of times we see these indictments or we see these charges brought on these criminals, these nation state actors, and Because of the countries they reside in, they're likely not to be extradited to the United States. So it's kind of nice to see that two individuals, kind of the scapegoats for, in this case, are actually going to be held to those charges.
Yeah, this is a tactic the U.S. government uses basically to like name and shame and also let people know that they have the capability to discover this stuff, kind of just like, and then in the broader security context, by kind of releasing this information and stuff, other security professionals can know when their groups are being targeted by some of this stuff. So it kind of is just like a, like publicly pointing fingers at people, and because that's about as much as it's going to get done. So
they're kind of showing their hand a little bit.
Right. And in the grander scheme of thing, as we've kind of all alluded to, it's not really going to, China's still going to, you know, do their nation state activity. They're still going to be acting in that landscape. It's not going to, you know, be something that's groundbreaking in that area, but it's kind of nice to get some names, some faces to these actors, these individuals, you know, especially in the threat landscape. Being anonymous is something that's highly valued. So
yeah.
Being named, shamed, like, you know, Charles had mentioned, it's something that, you know, could potentially impact those that are interested in up and coming in the threat landscape.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's kind of like our own form of extortion.
Yeah, I mean, you can place individual sanctions on some of those people. And now, yeah, should they ever leave government service, you know, they're not going to be able to travel to extradition countries. They're not going to be able to try and own property elsewhere. Any kind of like retirement options, things like that. Like you've greatly limited a lot of their potential future career choices, things like that. So,
yeah. And to kind of, I guess, wrap up this grouping of new law enforcement activity, there's this new operation, or I guess not really a new operation, but an operation that's being reported on now called Disruptor. Alec, what happened? Can you kind of give us an idea of that?
All right. So I just wanted to start by saying whoever's responsible for naming these operations, like, kudos. This Disruptor with, you know, emphasis on the tour. I don't know. I thought that was pretty cool.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. So this was
I can't tell if you're being serious or sarcastic. I'm not sure.
I'll leave that open for interpretation from the listeners. But it was an operation from the Joint Criminal Opioid and Darknet Enforcement, another pretty cool name for organization that falls under the FBI. But yeah, Operation Disruptor. Some 179 people were arrested across Europe and the U.S. and about 500 kilograms or 1,102 pounds of drugs and 64 guns confiscated. So a considerable amount there, right? So
yeah,
pretty impactful to the, you know, dark web landscape. And, you know, historically, there's always been this thought that these criminals operating on these dark web marketplaces or these criminal marketplaces, they're hidden. But it really doesn't seem to be the case anymore. The FBI, law enforcement in general, maintains a pretty good foothold within this within the space now. So it'd be interesting to see again how cyber criminals will move, or some of those more drug focused individuals are going to be moving across the threat landscape, across the different dark web marketplaces.
Yeah, for sure. So I mean, I guess over time we've kind of figured out that law enforcement is, they have new methods in figuring out how to track criminals and be able to, you know, drop these charges or, you know, even arrest them. So I guess coming from like a big picture perspective, what do you think this kind of activity has, or I guess what kind of impact do you think this kind of activity has on the cyber threat landscape as a whole?
Yeah. So, I mean, just like kind of going back to, the indictments of those individuals associated to APT 41, I really don't think it's going to have, you know, much of an impact on the threat landscape, in my opinion. Criminals are going to do what criminals are going to do. They're going to keep acting in that way. But they'll likely, you know, move to other means. Maybe, you know, there's going to be more nuances or more dark web marketplaces that are just smaller in nature, a little bit more gated in nature, and, you know, require a little bit more vetting to try and keep law enforcement out as much as possible.
Yeah.
It's my joke that I always use, like, since I'm a Jurassic Park nerd, cybercrime finds a way. Like, they will always find a way. Any law enforcement actions are great, but the criminals are going to, you know, be like water, and they're going to continue to flow.
Be like water. Look at you, man.
I don't know. I've been watching too much Cobra Kai, I think.
No, I love it.
Wax on, wax off. Yeah.
I love it. All right, cool. So moving on to a completely different topic, but still kind of involving a advanced persistent threat group. So Charles, we've observed new activity from APT-28, aka Fancy Bear. But before we get into it, can you kind of give us an idea of what kind of activity they've been involved in previously? Like, what's their MO?
Yeah, I mean, so you might know them from their greatest hits, like the DNC hacks and DC leaks and stuff like that. The whole Guccifer 2.0 persona, you know, so they made the news for that quite a bit in 2016, 2017. Kind of the stuff they're doing now and their MO is like it's still going to be Russian intelligence based, like intelligence gathering, espionage focused stuff. You're looking at that kind of activity from them.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, can you imagine if we put out like a Kidz Bop APT-28 for their greatest hits? I mean, that's the first thing that came to my mind. Okay, not funny. I'm getting a couple smiles, but no laughs. Okay, so in this campaign, what are they doing now?
So they are sending out like phishing emails, basically, but they're targeting, they're using like NATO training documents as their lure. So a lot of the stuff, what's interesting about this entire setup is that none of the actual like technical details of it are anything that's like new or revolutionary. They're using the lure is kind of what's interesting, the way they're targeting people, that's kind of what changes. And I think that's kind of what's interesting, along with just the general landscape in phishing and knowing how to target people and is being able to produce, you know, capable and relevant phishing lures for people. And that's why criminals can continue to adapt and be successful, because a lot of the technical stuff can remain the same for the most part. And so this basically what they're doing is sending out these EXE files disguised as PDFs or JPEGs, and they're NATO training documents. If you change the file extension type to JPEG, it looks like a regular JPEG picture when you load it. Otherwise, it's a zip file with like an Excel spreadsheet and the EXE file that runs the malware and stuff in the background that just starts to collect information and post it to various URLs. So.
Man, that's absolutely wild. So I guess at this point, do we, I guess, confidently know of anyone that's been targeted with this campaign?
So I believe the only country that's come forward and said anything that they have been targeted has been Azerbaijan.
Okay.
So that's from what I understand is the sole target right now, but that doesn't mean they're not targeting other people. They're just the only people that have said that they have been a victim of this attack so far. So.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, cool. Well, moving on to our next topic. This is kind of just a little side note, because I found it to be pretty interesting. So on September 20th, Activision suffered a potential data breach. It's been corroborated. Goodness gracious. It's been corroborated by multiple users. But in the meantime, Activision has denied these claims and has said that any type of reports that there have been saying that they have been compromised, they're saying that they're incorrect. So it's unconfirmed that they were compromised, but cyber criminals, they've been posting login data across various marketplaces. And whenever you think about an Activision account, you have, you know, your credentials and then also financial data. So I've actually chosen to change my password and then remove those payment details. But what's everyone else's take on this one? I mean, they have users corroborating that it happened, but the company itself says that, nope, didn't happen. Everything's fine. What do y'all think about it?
With respect to this one, you always have to read between the lines when people do any kind of comments on breaches.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot going on that we don't know, and you'll never know unless you were the incident responder and the incident response firm that's helping out with something along these lines. I would say it's probably a prudent thing to change, you know, your login details and remove any kind of saved payment methods that you have on them, just to be on the safe side.
Yeah, completely agree with you. Yeah, so on to our next topic. This one also involved a compromise, and it's really a tragic update on the ransomware landscape. So, Charles, can you give us an idea of what happened?
Yeah, so the Dusseldorf University Hospital in Germany was the victim of a ransomware attack, and kind of unfortunately, as a result of that, a patient that was being transported there was redirected to another facility that was farther away, and it appears that potentially as a result of the delay in definitive care, that person died. And so now German investigators are kind of, they're treating this as like a negligent homicide case as well as the ransomware stuff. It's the IT team there has basically said that it appears there was just like a standard vulnerability in some software that they use there that allowed the ransomware actors to get in there and encrypt the network and just create this disaster in the first place. Interestingly, the ransomware group, it appears they withdrew their ransom note and they provided a decryption key to everything kind of after it made the news that this person had passed away from all of that. It kind of appears that they decided they wanted to at least do that, I guess. I don't know. It's a sad story, I think. I think it's one of those instances that can show sometimes that these targeting like healthcare organizations, some of these more critical infrastructures, like it's all fun and games. And when you encrypt the ransomware on someone's, you know, like office computer and they can't get to some spreadsheets or something. But I think like people can die from this stuff sometimes. I think it's important to remember that. So.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it really moves the line from your typical ransomware data encryption to a life or death situation. So yeah, this entire scenario is really sad. Rick, what's your take on this? I'm sure you have a good perspective from running incident response in the higher ed area.
Yeah, I used to work at the University of Texas at Dallas, and it's very common for university systems to have healthcare components. If you look at Texas, I think University of Texas system here is like 17 or 18 institutions, and I think they have two or three dedicated, you know, medical facilities. And then like UT Dallas had two different healthcare kind of components to them. So opportunistic adversaries, now we don't know who this one was, but opportunistic extortionists, like let's say Maze as one example that just cast a wide net, they may not realize that a university is actually going to have a healthcare component to it. Of course, more targeted ones like DarkSide, and that we just had a new blog come out from Stefano this week on DarkSide, which is a pretty nice one. You know, that threat actor group is very targeted. So that's not the type of thing that I think DarkSide would miss, because they do a lot of preparation and recon and things along those lines. So yeah, I think it just puts more scrutiny, you know, on the ransomware groups, and law enforcement's already so focused on it. Like we did a presentation earlier this week, we were talking in Q1, we only had two of the extortion groups that were doing their own websites and PR campaigns and stuff, you know, pre-COVID essentially, or well, pre like lockdowns for COVID, I guess COVID was still going on.
The before times.
Yeah. It seems like a decade ago. But now I think we have over 15 groups that we're tracking that have their own sites and their own PR campaigns and things like that. So it'll be interesting, because PR is a pretty big component of the game right now. You probably don't want to get a bad name for targeting that. That could have some negative impacts for business. Side note, and some people saw me tweet this out. Ironically, my daughter in third grade was reading a book and had to write a ransom letter. So yesterday afternoon, she's like, "Dad, look at my ransom letter." Meanwhile, I think I had just been doing something, or maybe I read the DarkSide blog, and I just like, wow. Next thing you know, she's going to have her own tour site, and she's going to have a PR campaign to extort her victims. Cracked me up. Quite ironic. Turned out to be like the most popular tweet that I've done in years was this one about my daughter and her extortion campaign at school.
That's amazing. It's hand me all your Bitcoin or the teddy bear gets it. That's fantastic.
Does she need any developers?
Hey, we're always looking to grow the business.
All right.
Yeah, I'm happy to help with the spear phishing lures.
Yeah, I can, if you need anything in Bash or Python or Go, I'm your man. So
this is how it all comes about.
We just need to come up with a cool name now. All right, so to wrap us up, we're going to kind of embrace an old tradition that we used to have on Shadow Talk. And this is the kind of weird, funny question. I guess to be a little bit festive, what's everyone going to be for Halloween? I'll go ahead and start with you, Charles, or Alec. I mean, whichever one works.
Go ahead, Charles.
All right, man. So me and my wife are going to wear Wonder Bread shirts, and then we got the girls' peanut butter and jelly outfits. So
that is so precious. Yeah. I love that.
I'm pretty stoked, to be honest with you.
That's awesome.
All right, Alec, what's your plan?
All right, so I have two little kids. They, Luke and James. Luke wants to be Iron Man. James wants to be Spider-Man. So just keeping with the Avengers theme, I think I'm going to go for Dad Bought Thor.
Yes. Yeah, dude, I like that.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love that. So we just got a new German Shepherd back in June, and she's at that really awkward teenager stage where her legs are too long, her ears are too big for her head. So we've decided to, I actually found some pet safe dye, and we're going to make her Baby Yoda. And then I am going to be Leia, and my better half is going to be, which one did he choose? I think it was Luke Skywalker. I don't know. I'm pretty sure that's what it was. Yeah, I'm just most excited to see our dog painted green, wrapped up in a brown blanket. I'm super hyped about that part. Rick, what you doing?
I don't know exactly what it's going to manifest itself in for me, but my children want to go as characters from Disney's Descendants. To be determined which ones those would be. So I think I'll probably be in the theme of one of those. If you know what Descendants is, I don't. Oh, Descendants? Oh, it's like, it's a Disney musical. It's the children of Disney villains, and it's teenage musicals where they just sing. And like, I drove to North Carolina over the summer and we watched all three of the DVDs.
Oh no.
Over and over again for 2 days straight. So I know there's people out here listening that know what the Descendants are. So, you know, hashtag thoughts and prayers.
Yeah. Press F to pay respects, man. That's a tough one. All right. So that should wrap us up for this week. Y'all have a good one. Thanks so much for joining me.